if you have your Bibles with you, could you turn to Romans chapter 10, and we're commencing to read at verse 1. And while you're looking up the reference or the reading in the Bible, I just want to thank you sincerely on behalf of my family as well for praying for us. During the time of going home, my husband going home to be with the Lord, we really felt God's people praying. And we want to thank you sincerely from the depth of our heart, because it was God's people praying for us that kept us even at that time. And you know, in turn, God has been good to us. And I trust that as I relate my testimony and the goodness of God, that even this night I will uplift my Savior, because he's a great God and one that never fails. And in the reading in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, we're commencing to read that. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a seal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise: Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we know that the Lord will bless that reading to every one of our hearts. Can we just close in a word, or just commit this time in a word of prayer to the Lord? Heavenly Father, we come before thee tonight, and we come on no merits of our own, but we come on the finished work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee afresh for Calvary. We thank thee for the precious shed blood of Christ, that blood that cleanseth from all sin. And even now, Lord, we pray that thou would cover us in it, that thou would bind the devil and keep him outside the door, and that thou would close us in with thee, that the voice of the living God would be heard here tonight, and that the Lord would work in every heart, and Father, do the work that is needed in each and every one of us. We pray, O God, that thou would be pleased to remember the backsliders. Draw them back to their first love, we pray, if they be gathered in tonight. Those, Lord, that have never tasted and seen that the Lord is good, may tonight they look on the face of the Lord Jesus Christ and see the beauty and see that thou art good, and come and put their trust in thee. Whatever the need is, Lord, have thine own way. But Lord, even as we come now to testify, help us to glorify Christ. Help us, Lord, not to glorify anything in man, but oh, that Christ and Christ alone will be seen, and that all glory will resign to your holy name, for Christ's sake. Amen. I was born into a family of 6 children. There are 4 girls and 2 boys in our family. And shortly after I was born, I was the 4th in the family, but shortly after I was born, my father came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. Now, all my days, I remember being brought up in a Christian home. And from an early age, when we were old enough to go to Sunday school, we were sent along to Sunday school and to church. And we were brought up in the Brethren. Although my father was Presbyterian and my mother, Church of Ireland, when they got saved, They joined the gospel hall, and from a very early age, we were sent to the children's meetings. And you know, I remember even when I was sent there, we heard the need of a Saviour. We heard that we needed to get saved, and they were faithful. Those Sunday school teachers and those children's workers were faithful to our soul. And it wasn't until the November, when I was about 12, I remember one night after coming in, and it was a Sunday evening, and after the coming in, the family, and we had prayer time, and then we were put to bed. During that night, a great storm arose. And I remember specifically waking up as if it was just last night. And I woke up, and the first thing that flashed into my head was that the Lord Jesus Christ had come back. Because I'd learned that he was coming back. And I thought this massive big crackle in the sky was the Lord coming back. And you know, the very first place that I wanted to go to was to my parents' bedroom. Because I knew that if God had come back, my parents would have gone to be with him. And I remember getting out of bed and going along that landing and standing outside their door, their bedroom door. And you know, normally my father snored, but you could have heard him all over the house. But God had it that night. There wasn't one who came. The house in silence. The room was in silence. They opened the door and my way. My parents didn't know anything. And when I got over to their bed, and the Lord only knows, came over my heart to know that God had. And I went back to that bed that night, and I went back, and I promised myself I was going to get. And yet I read there that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, I didn't call. And going into school the next morning, I soon forgot about very quickly the promise. And the weeks passed, and into the month. And it wasn't until the following March that a special children's campaign came to the little gospel hall that I attended. And it was a special preacher by the name of Uncle Dan. And Uncle Dan came from Scotland. And I remember in turn that night. I attended that meeting every night of the week, Monday to Friday, and on a Sunday afternoon. But it wasn't to the very final Sunday afternoon that I realized that I couldn't leave that meeting without speaking to the. And I went up and I said to Uncle Dan, and he took me to a little corner in that gospel hall, and he sat me down and he opened the Word of God. And he opened the well-known verse in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But you know, I couldn't. Even when he put my name into the whosoever, and he took me to Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But you know, I still. And he took me to Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I still. And then he took me by dutiful verse. And he says, Julie, he says, let's look at this. That if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus. He says, do you confess Jesus Christ as Lord? And I said, I did. And he says, do you believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead? And I said, yes, I do. He said, well, that verse. And you know, just like that, it struck. I didn't see life. I didn't see anything miraculous happen. But I had a peace in my heart. And I had a joy in my heart. And I had a weight lifted off my body that only I knew when I took Jesus at his word. Because prior to that, I wasn't taking him at his. And you know, the Lord redeemed by years, by faith. And you know, there and then, Christ took away my sin. After he prayed, when he died, my father was. We went home, and they were delighted. My parents, they rejoiced because there was another brought in. But you know, sadly to say, the next morning and going into school, and they're young people, I hadn't to tell the girl what I had, that I had got saved. I hadn't the courage. And it's powerful how you can deceive people around you. And throughout the next 5 years, I went through schooling with this girl. Not one of them. Oh, the people in the gospel hall thought I was going on well, because I was there on a Sunday. And although at the beginning I was reading, because I didn't take my stand, I soon didn't read and pray. And I grew cold. And you know, very quickly, the devil can come in. He's never far away. And it wasn't until I was almost 17 in a gospel on Sunday, I rededicated my life. I realized where I was God for my apathy. And you know, thank God, I didn't get saved. And you know, I thank God, I can say I'm not ashamed. And young people, don't be ashamed to stand for God. It is a hard one. And none of us want to be isolated. None of us want to be the loner and the odd one out. But you're never the only one with Christ. He's all. He never leaves for forsake. And you know, during those years I was away from the Lord, I had the sports in my brain. I was out every minute training. I wanted to go on that field. Yes, I could run, I could do hurdles, and I was going well in the competition, in the competitive. But when I come back to the Lord took the desire, the sport field from me, and he put the desire of nursing upon me. And I entered into my nursing training. And when I entered into my nursing training, I was seeking out. Because when you go in there, the biggest majority in my group were Roman Catholic. There were a few Protestants. There was one other Christian girl that was in my group. And in turn, it can be hard. And you're away from home. And you're in that confinement. But there was a woman, Mary Ennis, and maybe a lot of you know her here tonight. And Mary had gone to Dr. Paisley, and Willie Whitelaw was in power then as well here in the province. And through Dr. Paisley, they were able to get a fundamentalist nurses fellowship going in the city hospital. And I affiliated myself to it. And you know, I had tremendous times. I met a lot of Free Presbyterians there. And girls that went through my time were people like Joan Greer, Margaret Russell, were all there. God used many of us. Because we had powerful prayer meetings. We did the doors of the nursing home. We were talking to many, many Roman Catholics. To 2, 3 in the morning. Opening God's Word. And there were people like Linda Harris, Patsy Madow, Yvonne Priestley. And God used a lot of those girls in the work, in different forms. And we had tremendous times of fellowship and great times. And one night, one of those girls invited me to a meeting. And it was a meeting in turn in Willie Mullins. Now, my father was he liked Willie Mullins, even though he was brethren. He liked his preaching and he would have many of his tapes in our home. And in turn, I went down to the meeting. And after the meeting, there was a group of Free Presbyterians that were there that night too for it. But there was a debate broke out. And apparently I sided with my husband's view. But I didn't know him at the time. I apparently took his view on the debate that went. But anyway, to cut a long story short, he invited me out. And the first night that we went out, we went to the gospel meeting in Dr. Paisley's. Now I was brethren. And Dr. Paisley that night hammered the brethren. The whole meeting, he hammered the brethren. And Robert turned around and he says to me, "What a night to bring you." And that, and I sort of said to him, "Well, that'll be the last time I'll be there on it." And in turn, and when we got back, and as you know, Free Presbyterian meetings go on quite long. Well, my father said, "No meeting goes on to this time of the night." Because my father was quite strict and we had a time to be in for. And he just wouldn't have accepted a meeting going on quite late at all. But anyway, I did go back to the Free Church. And Robert was one of the members of the Male Witness. Many of you know my husband. He was a leader of a gang in the Shankill. He was rare. My father wasn't happy with the relationship because he wanted the brethren, not anyone outside it, and not somebody from the Shankill Road was his view. But you know, God has ways of overworking and God has ways of doing his work. And God led Robert and I as a couple. And I remember in turn before we were engaged or anything, we were going to the brethren, my brother and I, and that morning we were locked out. The brethren locked their doors and we were about 7 minutes late and we were locked out. And my brother says, "What about going into Belfast to hear Dr. Paisley?" So I said, "All right, away we go." And on it, and him and I went. And in turn, when we got Dr. Paisley that morning, and he made an appeal that Sunday. Now, Robert didn't know I was in the meeting. My brother and I just slipped it. And he made an appeal. And something unusual for a brethren person to do, I got up. And that morning, I surrendered service. And unknown to me, Robert got up that meeting as well and surrendered for full time. Now, I always had the desire of the mission, but God had other purposes. And you know, when my husband and I came together, and then God led him into the ministry when he got his exams and took him through. And we went down to Clock Mills to serve. God blessed us with 5 children, 2 boys and 3 girls. And our last were twin girls. And during the 30 years that my husband was there, he celebrated in the year 2013, he celebrated his 30th anniversary. And that was a tremendous night. It was weather, it was horrendous. The M2 was shut off due to snow. It was such a really bad, bad night. We had a tremendous, and it was a good night. But prior to that 30th anniversary of my husband, at Christmas in 2011, it was actually in turn Christmas. My mother hadn't been very well, and I'd gone up. I'd said to Robert, "Robert, I need to go to my mom, and I don't know if I knew my..." My mom and dad lived on the Ballygan Road, and in turn, I came up. Mom, that night, Friday night, my mom wanted to talk. She talked until I said to her, "Mom, you have a district nurse coming early in the morning, and you need to get sleep." And I went in and got ready, and when I came back in, I was sleeping. Christmas Eve morning came, and my mom was still sleeping. My dad got up at 7 and sorted, was still sleeping, and Dad says, "Is she still sleeping?" And I said, "Yeah, she is, but I need to get her waking shot." And in turn, I went in. I said to Mom, "Mom, you sort your district nurse coming, you need your breath." Mom, in turn, was able to get up. The night before, she was able to walk really well with me out of the bath. That morning, she wasn't, and my brother came, and he assisted me, and we helped, and we got Mom. And my brother said to me, he says, in turn, I says, "Is Kathleen your his wife?" And he says, "Yes, she's in the car." He says, "But she's not great, and she doesn't want to come in with him because she's got quite a flu on." So I went out to speak to her, and while I was speaking to her a few moments, and then my brother came out and joined, and he said, "We are going now." And I says, "Is Mom and Dad?" He said, "They're fine in the living room there." And I went in, but immediately I entered the hall door. He something. When I got into the living room, my mom, and we got Mom down, and we resuscitated. It was good. She came round. Getting her into hospital, God was good to us over that next period. It gave the family an adjustment time. It gave the family a time to be with her and to be with my mother. And we sat round the clock. The family took it in turn, right round. I mainly did the night shift because the family found it hard to keep going. My mom died on the 4th of January, 2012. On the eve of her funeral, it would have been my mom died on the Monday and her little body came in on the Tuesday. And that night, my dad was just lost. And he went into his room. I went in after him and I said, "Dad, is Dad?" And he looked at me and his look I have never forgotten. And he says, "Gillian." And you know, my dad then in turn, on the eve of my mom's funeral, took a major stroke. He was sitting beside me and he said to me, "Gillian, I have a pain here." And he thought, and I says, "Dad, squeeze my..." And Dad was admitted because his blood pressure was fine. They thought they would do thrombus, but after they did scan, they said in the brain stem and of time. And Dad went home with the Lord. We put Mom 1 week in the grave, came back the following. But you know, God was good, and it was blessed for Mom because they're together. Then the following January was my husband's 30th, on the 20th of May 2013. My husband was going over to his sick brother. His brother had cancer. We're leaving to go. And I said to him, "You'd be better going on the Liverpool Fair Monday night and travelling rather than all the travel rides." And they did that. And on the Tuesday morning, when I was texting him early in the morning, I said, "Well, how did the night go?" And he said, "Well, Julie, how did it go with three sisters?" He says, "You never get a minute, and they never keep quiet." And in turn, he sort of was heading then up to our son's, Jonathan's, in Birmingham. He got to Birmingham, and he got to our son's, and he was playing with the 2 wee grandchildren. They were just about a year and three. One was three. And he was down in the ground, and he was playing with them. And in turn, then, he left. And when he left my son didn't see him because he was at a meeting. But he left the home with the boys and Jessica, his wife. He was travelling down, and 20 minutes later, he was present. He was on the M6 in England, and he was on the outside lead, and instantly God took him home. He didn't know anything about it. He didn't take a heart attack, just stopped any car and stopped it. But in the goodness and mercy of God, God placed his body on the right angle of the wheel of that car. His sisters thought he was carrying on when he slumped over the wheel. But in the mercy of our God, he put his body right on the right angle. And he brought that car right across that M6 and down the only ditch for 30 miles. Otherwise, it would have been a car. And the miracle that I witnessed less than 24 hours before, when God cleared that M6 to bring his car across, it was only the Lord done. Because when I stood, as I said, less than 24 hours, the cars that were going down that M6 the truckers that were going down. And yet God spared us as a family. Anyone suffer and not be. The three sisters got out minor injury. Yes, there are a lot of psychological, but they could have been absent. And every one of them was to admit it to the hospital for overnight observation, and they were discharged. I was at home when I had gone into work that morning, because I had a report. I finished the report and went and got the Sunday school, and then I got the little grand faker. We had come back to the house, we were playing, it was a lovely day. In turn, his mom came, and something that she normally doesn't do that. And I said to her, do you want a bit? Usually she's in a hurry to the other week. And the first came in when I just made her. And the first call that came in that day was, there's been an accident, and we don't know. And immediately I got on to our son, Jonathan, and I said, Jonathan, has Dad been in it? And heard, but Amy. And I left the mobile phone on the window. And I started then, the phone rang again, and it was a brother-in-law. And the brother-in-law says, Julie, ring these numbers. We know where the sisters are. We don't know where Robert is. Unknown to me, there were hospital numbers in that area. And I dialed the first number. No, never heard of it. Second number, never heard of the name. Third number. But the police had put a shutdown on any information to be given out on the name of. Meanwhile, I went back to the brother-in-law. I said, I can't. Any, Robert's not anywhere there. He says, well, try these numbers. And he gave me two others. I hadn't heard from our son, and I started to ring the first number. Again, the same thing, do you hear? And in between getting the second number, the phone rang. And it was, in turn, a niece of Robert. And she just said, Auntie Julie, Robert's dead. The Lord was good, because Alex was there, and I dropped the phone and Alex, and then I said, God had it that our son Timothy, he was working in engineering, he was local. Normally he's down south, mainly a big, most of his work was over the border, and he was local. Our other daughter, Danielle, was local as well. Hannah was on her final management placement in Royal, and in turn got to that they would hold her boyfriend, who's now her husband. We got a flight booked to go to England, and God was good. The flight got us there, and when we were going over, we were at the very front. Where is every step of the way? Coming back, we were at the very back. Do you know, in turn, when I got to England, when we were met by Pastor Sinker's wife and Jesse, our son John, we went back to the farmhouse, and I remember sitting there, it was after 6, and I must have sat there to 10. And Jonathan came home, and he said, Mom, we can't do anything tonight to see Dad. But on the way down the next day, I asked our son, do we pass the scene? And when we stopped at the scene, the police said they had never seen me. And the police monitored his car coming down. It was coming down straight all of a sudden. And God took him down. He had passed that. It was Robert, no one else. His work on this scene of time to an end. Do you know, dear friend, if that had been you, are you ready to go home? Robert knew nothing about it. He would have no time to prepare. None whatsoever. And in turn, he would have been in a lost eternity. No man knoweth the day of their death, but it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. Are you ready? Are you dead uncertain that you're ready? Or do you say to yourself, I hope so? It is interesting, that phrase, because just Saturday week ago I was in picking up a pair of glasses that I had gotten. And in turn the girl in Specsavers in Ballymena, she came over and she said, you're the Reverend's wife. And I said, yeah. She says, and she then sympathized after Robert. But she says, I want to tell you. She says, I was thinking of him just yet. She says, I have thought about him a lot since he's gone home. She says, he came into this place, and that would have been up. And she says, he asked me if I would see. And I told him, I hope so. And he says, what do you mean you hope so? And he witnessed and spoke to. And she says, you know, I would just love to tell today. I know without a doubt I'm ready. She says, because I have that assurance now that I'm saved. And I says, well, I says, he's in glory. But I says, won't it be wonderful when he sees you when you go there? And she says, I'm now doing, and she's working there. Do you know, it encouraged my heart. It encouraged me. That even though, and sometimes we speak to people, wonder what happened. That's God only asks. He doesn't ask any more than, oh, if you don't know, come. Our graveyards are full of young, middle-aged. No man knows. When I spoke to my husband, I didn't realize it was a lie. But you know, God knew. And after Robert went home to be with the Lord, he gave me a stand for God. He's our God. He will be my guide. And you know, there was just one time that my heart was raised. Just a bit like David talks about in Psalm 42. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in hope thou? It was one time that I came back, and I was picked up at the airport by Hannah and Nancy at that time. And in turn, when I was picked up, they asked me if I wanted out. And it was absolutely empty and out of the heaven. And I went out, and I started walking. And I walked, and I probably about 5 miles. And that is how I felt. I said, Lord, why do I feel like, why do I feel like? And just about a quarter of a mile from our home, the rain stopped. And I looked up the sky as I was talking to them. It's lovely to live in the country because then you can talk away to the animals and nobody thinks you're a fruit in that case. But you know, it's great to talk to the Lord wherever you are. And just as I looked up, I saw the most beautiful double rainbow. And yet the rainbow means that the Lord will never flood the earth. But for me, it was the Lord saying to me twice over, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. And you know the comfort that I took, that my God, and you know he's been with me. He hasn't failed me and he never will. And he'll never fail you. Because he's a great, great Savior. And he's one that's touched by the feeling. He loves you tonight. Do you? He loves you. He gave his life. He died. And he wants you to belong to him. Just at the close, there's a little poem I'd like to leave with you. A little poem that was given to me many, many years ago. And it's a lovely book. It's called The Record Book. And maybe some of you, if all the things you ever said were written in a book, and all your thoughts were on display, so all could take a look, I guess there is not a living soul who wouldn't hang his head and feel ashamed before the Lord and wish. There is a record book, I'm told, with every deed and word. It even keeps a record of our thoughts that can't be heard, the good, the bad, and every sin, for nothing has been missed. It really makes me feel ashamed to think what's on my list. And yet the pages of the past shall never bother me, for Jesus nailed them to his cross one day at Calvary. And now I stand in him complete, redeemed from sin and strife, for with his blood he wrote my name down in of life. Is it? I trust. It is. And that you, if you know not Christ, you trust this night to come and not only give your heart.